Rise and Climb with Anna, as I share stories of hope and healing through hardship to help you overcome the obstacles you face today. Whether you are a teen, single adult, parenting, or just simply learn best through stories, this podcast will keep you inspired to answer to the call to rise and climb to any occasion life throws at you. Enjoy. All right, we are live on scene from our anniversary location.
Mm-hmm.
A little log cabin for Christmas time. Christmas capital of the world.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, honey.
It is the most wonderful time. And that's why it's so great that we
got married around Christmas.
Yeah, that our anniversary is around this time. So we bought little question cards at a store. Okay, geez. Hold back the puke.
Sorry, some of the questions
he's rolling his eyes at.
Yes, because they ask for lists, and I don't think men historically have four or five things on the top of their head that they can come up with.
So. You're right. So,
for instance...
So this question is, what are three things I do that make you feel special and loved? So this is a good prelude into our marriage topic story time. Yeah. So... Do you want to go first? So, but you said you don't want to give three. Apparently.
Because.
Rather limited.
Well, no, what it is, if I'm really going to answer this question, it would take me a couple days. and I say that because I feel like this exposes some differences between us in general.
I'm much less.
Yes. And I don't want to come up with just some stupid offhand. Oh, you do the dishes for me, you know, or something like that.
Yeah, okay.
I'd like it to be meaningful. Okay. And to give you an actual list of three things, I could come up with one that may take 10 minutes.
All right, well, do you have one or do I need to go?
I think the one I can think of is you are very intentional with trying to make sure I get study time every week.
Oh, I was going to talk about that in the podcast. So it's perfect.
There you go.
Okay, we'll go into that and why we do that. Well, that's good because alone time is important to you to think. That's mm-hmm. how you get rejuvenated.
And it's more so that you do definitely
put advocate
effort
for it.
Into it because usually you rearrange the date it's supposed to be.
But I do that if I can.
Yes.
Yes.
So... Anyways.
Yes, I usually am arranging it, but I'm not blowing it off.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I would say, well, it probably goes back to love languages in a way. Because I would say, I wonder if this, okay, rabbit trail. I wonder if some people listen to this and just puke. Think, oh, wow. And you guys are so perfect, maybe. If you do, I totally understand that, and I won't feel judged by that. But I would say one of the things you do to make me feel special, I just think when you come up and you, like, wrap your arms around me. But I think I'm a little more physical touch, so that would definitely. And, I mean, I feel special because I don't want anybody else doing that. And I don't want you doing that to anybody else. So maybe that's why it's special. So let's get into some marriage stuff that I thought things, what?
You only answered one of them.
I'm not doing three if you're not doing three.
Well.
It would take me at least 6 days.
Next time we do a podcast, I'll give the other two.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so what do you think we're talking about today, honey?
Well, based on what you told me earlier, what we're talking about is what things we do in our marriage to strengthen it. I think that was kind of it.
That's the gist.
There might have been something else that you said, but I feel like in general that's the premise.
Yes. Okay, so I think we should start off that when we first got married... I would say we don't spend a lot of time mad at each other. Okay. I don't spend a lot of time mad at you anymore. Like, extra time. Mm-hmm. Maybe a few hours a night.
You're mad at me every night for a couple hours?
No. If I'm mad at you, I don't spend more. Like,
I was like, wow, that's a surprise to me. You cover it well.
No, no, no.
If you're mad at me, it's only for a few hours.
Yeah. Normally.
Yeah.
So, but it used to be, I think I remember getting mad at you for a week.
Yeah, I do as well.
And being shut down. And when I say mad, it's usually shut down emotionally. I can remember a time when I was mad at you for a long time. And I think I had Benny. We had Benny already. And I pulled into the garage and I was messaging somebody. Do you remember this? So I was on my phone and all of a sudden I look up and I was smiling. And I look up.
Was this last week?
No. And I look up and I see you and I think, oh, shoot, I can't let him see me smiling and laughing. And then all you said to me was, do you remember this?
No, I don't.
Are you crying?
No, I'm laughing.
I remember you saying, I just don't understand how you can basically laugh and smile with others, but still be so mad at me.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I feel like you're going to cry.
Maybe. I don't remember what that was.
What are you feeling?
I'll tell you in a week.
It's true.
No, I think that's accurate because I've said that to you before.
Yeah.
So
that must have really that strikes a wound for you. That hurts you. So
actually what it does is just make me want to invite people over when you're mad at me. She's over it.
Whatever. Okay. So I think a lot of our fights in the beginning, and again, when I say fights, you won't fight with me, so it usually is me being shut down.
I don't take the bait.
You don't take the bait.
Because you're almost trying to bait me into responding.
Absolutely, and it's really annoying. So then I have a reason to be more mad. But I would say that it was around mismanaged expectations.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the beginning, seriously, I think for 2 years, it was an up and down struggle with intimacy expectations where I just expected more intimacy, more pursual, and you just didn't have it in you because you're actually stressed, mm-hmm. but you didn't know that, so you didn't communicate that.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would just communicate something I wanted to change, and you would just look at me like, I can't give that to you. So then...
Yeah, I remember early on me saying to you a lot that I can't give you all of that right now.
Yeah.
It's...
And so what that evoked was then a second wound of, I'm not important enough to figure out... And what I remember feeling was, you can understand black hole theories, you can understand, you know, complex theological, philosophical stuff, and you can't figure out how to love me in a way that I want you to. Really?
Yeah, ask that to any man.
Right? So now, looking back... It was up and down of, I handled it sometimes wisely with, and then other times I just said, fine, I'll just not care anymore. And I just don't need that from you anymore and whatever. So I remember immature times. I remember times of true surrender.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that I think I just had to, I mean, it just took a long time to work through it. It was not one of those issues that just got worked out overnight. But one of the things I remember truly helping, actually, I think three key things to it. Here are the three
lists.
Things.
Lists. There we go.
One was, I never would have thought, oh, this is my mentor. And she's not even in my life right now actively. But I had gotten together with her a few times. And she had just shared her story about her marriage and what she stuck through in her marriage. And I just remember that being very helpful. So she shared her story. And her story went along the lines of both of them didn't want kids when they got married, but then there got to a point where she changed her mind and she wanted kids and he didn't. And how she still chose to love him for who he was and his faults and his shortcomings. So just being around that wisdom and that experience, that really helped. And then another thing that helped was picking up the book, I think The Meaning of Marriage. And I didn't even read the whole thing. I think I just opened to a chapter. Maybe it was, So You Married a Sinner. I don't know. But what
she's like, proof.
Exactly. So here, I think, is a trap that Satan, you can't take me down anymore. But you are so strong and so great in so many areas that when you do fall short, it almost, I forget it. You know, I forget that you're not human or perfect. So it's a process. So I think Satan, in some ways, tries to lie to me about you by trying to put you and idolize you on a pedestal and closer to God than you actually are. Mm-hmm. And so I would say, I would say that book. And then the next thing is just sometimes a very rational, convicting thought truly helps me. And if I'm just going to be totally transparent, vulnerable, it was along the lines of, Anna, be careful what you wish for. Because here's the thing, even though I wanted some more personal and intimacy, I didn't really know what that meant. And I'm not somebody that wants to be pursued all the time. So once I finally got that conviction of, like, be careful what you ask for, some women, husbands are asking for, like, every day. And whatever people choose is fine. But I'm like, I don't want that either, because I started to realize there's a lot of nights I'm tired. There's a lot of nights I'm not thinking about that. And I should be careful what I ask for. And once I realized that maybe
your expectations might not be realistic.
Realistic for me, myself. I think it was a Holy Spirit conviction of, Anna, just wait, there may be a season where he asks for or he pursues this a lot more. And when I say ask, I think it's worth talking about. Where, I guess, what's your view? Because you don't really want to be intimate when I don't want to be.
No.
Like, that's not a good thing. Like, you're not like, let's just have.
Yeah. It's
just a habit.
Yeah, I don't. When you are shut down like that, the last thing I want to be is intimate with you. Let's be honest.
I don't know why.
It's like a porcupine. Do you want to get close to it? No. And I don't want to cuddle with a porcupine. I don't want to cuddle with my wife when she's mad at me like that.
And not only, I mean, that's obviously extreme. That's not obvious. But even when I just, if there's something going on in my life and I'm sad, you also aren't thinking.
No.
But you
also. Part of it is, okay, understanding that your needs are more important.
Yes.
At that moment. It's not even really on my radar that much. Because when you're like that, I have no expectation of being intimate with you.
That's true.
And I think that's my expectations. And I think a lot of what I think we're going to share is what expectations do and how they can set you up for either a blessing or a curse.
Yeah. And speaking of which, that goes back to even a key thing in understanding was, okay, because you hear like, oh, your man is just going to want sex all the time or whatever, and a man's touch means that he wants to be intimate then, and that is kind of what you hear. So speaking of expectations, so then when you would like, touch me or caress me in not an uber sexual way, but in, you know, a caressing, a caring way, I wouldn't know how to take it. And I think I was like, okay, do I need to be ready to go? or not. And instead of talking to you about that, it took time to realize. Mm-hmm. And I remember you saying, sometimes I just want to put my hand on your butt just to put my hand on your butt. And it doesn't mean anything. But for most men, I would say, that's not the case.
I don't know. I don't know. I can't speak for most men. So.
A lot of men, well, when you hear that kind of the man I'm describing, I think that's what you hear from the wife is usually that means that's his way of communicating.
Yes.
Bomb chicka wah wah.
But ultimately, all of this comes down to just talk about it. You're an adult. Yes,
communication.
Yes. And specifically with this issue, I know sometimes men are awkward about communicating.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I am too as well, but sometimes I don't even know what I want in the moment. It's more like, what are you in the mood for?
Yeah, I'm neutral.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't know, I'm maybe put some feelers out there and I could be.
And that's what we say sometimes.
we could, sure, maybe. And then sometimes just one thing can change.
Yeah.
Good or bad. Yeah. Yes. So
I mean, we don't need to get hung up on the intimacy part.
No, not at all.
But considering that was a lot of your issue with me early on.
Yes, that was a huge part. Now, yours doesn't have to be intimacy, but is it finances? Is it how you spend your family time? Is it work? I mean, there's something. Now, but, okay, with that being said, whether it's intimacy or not, but I think intimacy is so personal that is a really big, it triggers a lot of wounds for people one way or another. So I think I could speak to the woman's view of, I mean, I can speak more for the women, but for the man who really does want to be more intimate with the woman and she doesn't want to be, what do you say to that?
I think there's a couple aspects. One would be, how is your spiritual life, first of all?
Mm-hmm.
How are you seeking God first? You know, because ultimately it says, seek first the kingdom of God, and then all the, like, your wants, and or all, sorry, all your needs will be supplied to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we can argue about the needs, but... But I think the point is, seek first God and the blessings will come.
Mm-hmm.
And so if your heart is fully committed towards the Lord and you're being a godly man and a godly leader,
mm-hmm.
and that godly leader doesn't mean what some people think. Some people think leading means, I need to be out front making all the decisions. And I think leading is, it's not what's said, it's what you do.
So,
and for me, that's the biggest aspect. You mm-hmm. can't. Leadership is how I act and how mm-hmm. I display how you should act.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what I say. And I think most men have that backwards. It's, or I shouldn't say most men, just a lot of men have it backwards, where they tell people what to do, but they don't live it. And I think mm-hmm. living what you want your wife to be in terms of not necessarily submissive, but living in...
servant.
Being a servant to your wife mm-hmm. is being the greater, you know, mm-hmm. that Jesus says.
Yeah.
So, and then willing to understand, treat your wife as if she's mad at you all the time, like you were. It was more just accepting that's where you were at.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. And so for me, that's like step one has nothing to do with your wife, has nothing to do with anything but you and God.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're acting and living a truly godly life,
mm-hmm.
and serving your wife, I think naturally the attraction from your wife will come and she will want to be more intimate with you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if there's wounds in the past, it's going to take you a little while. It could take years to break down all of them past wounds mm-hmm. and earn her trust.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and we something we've talked about is trust's always on the table. You're either earning trust constantly or one mistake or one screw up. It can be, mm-hmm. you didn't do the dishes when I asked you to, you know,
yeah.
something like that. That is, it draws your trust down.
Mm-hmm.
And the more of them you have, the less trustworthy you are. And then the more issues you have in your marriage too, but the more trustworthy you're showing yourself, the more that your wife would be willing to naturally be intimate with you, because she's going to mm-hmm. be opening up to you because she can trust you. And that opening at first may just be talking to you. May just, you know, mm-hmm. whatever that is, you got to accept that form of intimacy. Because if you really want the physical intimacy, the only way to get there is to have other forms of intimacy with your wife. Yeah. To have true intimacy. Now, you can have the artificial just get the job done, but that's not going to actually bode well for your marriage. Or mm-hmm. you, because ultimately men do want that intimacy as well.
Yeah.
It's just for them a harder place to go.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I say sometimes it takes me a couple weeks to tell you how I'm feeling. Because it is harder for me just to know that stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm not emotionally intelligent
mm-hmm.
with that. I've gotten better, but I'm nowhere near your level. So.
Oh, honey, no. But I would say your strength is, you know, even if we're gone for a weekend or I wouldn't even say gone, because in general, I think that when we're apart, we stay pretty close. So I don't think when I'm gone, there's a lot we need to catch up. I think it's by Wednesday or Thursday, we already need to catch up. Because the weekend, you're more available, mm-hmm. whether it's text or even if I'm gone. But it's the week where you go from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. and then the kids and then I have stuff. So sometimes it takes 3 nights before we even get
a chance.
Because
I go to bed early.
Yeah. And so I would say one of your strengths is, well, yeah, I mean, you would want me because I can't blame you. But... I mean, you actually are saying, but we haven't really gotten to catch up and connect. And it really is a heart connection that you strive and lead for. And I think that's great. So I would say, though, what I observe is one of the things that has helped you get to that point where you can go without intimacy, a physical intimacy, is because you practiced that before we were married. Wouldn't you say that's a big part of it, or no?
Yeah, for sure. If you're willing to deny yourself before marriage, honestly, it's the point where I'm not thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know how they say men think about sex every 15 seconds? I think about sex every couple days.
It's so true.
I have a million other things going on in my mind. And that's one of them, but also just how is Anna doing? There's other things that I think about probably more than sex. Mm-hmm. Actually, I know I think about more than sex.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was mad about.
Now, that doesn't... I'm going to say that comes from my relationship with God, where I'm mm-hmm. seeking things that are more important than sex.
Because it wasn't always like that.
No, obviously. Everyone who's heard my story, I've had issues in the past.
And that's why it's important to say. People aren't like, oh, it's just Michael and it's so easy to you.
Yes, exactly. It wasn't like I was born this way.
Yeah. When I say, I go, this is the irony of marrying a sexy fender. You know, I never thought this would be our problem, but I'm so thankful for everything God's taught me and us. And it's praise the Lord for the redemption
mm-hmm.
of it.
For sure.
You know, and it's not like you don't have the ability. You are just much more feminine in that nature, where that's women. Women aren't thinking about sex all the time. It might be every few days. Who knows? For some women, it's every once a year. I don't know. But that's just where, again, it's that expectations. Mm-hmm. And where, oh, I just expected that you were like every other man. I've never heard of a man who doesn't think about sex all the time. I didn't know they existed.
Yeah.
That's your unicorn. It is
because my mind is occupied with a lot of things that I think about. You know, I have so many hobbies and interests and other things, and that was one of the reasons Anna got so mad at me. She thought I would more like to marry a book than her.
Oh, that's right. I felt your books were the other woman.
Yes. And part of it is because that is interesting. I have interests. I have my own desires to learn and grow mm-hmm. in areas that has nothing to do with our intimacy.
Yeah.
And I know that was an issue, you know.
Of course. Now, I do want to say, where I think I was going with this before, but that no matter what, if you constantly are struggling with something, we did go to a counselor at one point. I remember I was going to see a counselor because, and so that is another thing that I did in my marriage where I couldn't control you or change you. It wasn't working. My tantrums weren't working. You know, my manipulation wasn't working. My silence, my let's just wait it out wasn't working. So what I ultimately decided was, okay, I need this. This is triggering something in me. I need to go see a counselor to figure it out for me. So I did that. And then there were, you did maybe go two or three times?
I think I went once.
Or once. And I remember thinking, I want my money back.
Because she was like, Anna, you guys have a lot going on right now. Maybe you could curtail your expectations a little bit.
That's what you remember from it?
That's what, because that's what she said.
Oh, boy.
And which was good, because I think ultimately that really led us down to the importance of expectations.
That, and it really was, okay, because if you think, we got married, you got out of prison, and we got married 4 days later, and then we got pregnant, and we knew about it within like 3 weeks, and then we bought a new house within a few months. Then we moved in. You're on a job that you are not good at the time. Mm-hmm. And so that's stressful for you. Tons of learning. It is your carpentry job. And that's why you say how much God has blessed you mm-hmm. in that. You know. And then by this time, we're probably pregnant again.
Yeah. So there's the pregnancy hormones. There's
yeah.
There's a lot going on.
So
and I was still, I think, when you don't know what you're doing as a guy or as a man, that's a very, that's a large insecurity, I think, for mm-hmm. most men. They like to feel competent and understand, knowledgeable in what they're doing. Sorry, I'm being really quiet, but yeah. Anyways, it is important for men to feel competent, and I was going to work and did not have a clue what I was doing mm-hmm. for a couple of years. I shouldn't say a clue, but I didn't feel like I was an asset at work for yeah. years until I started to grasp everything.
Well, really, until you got more into the managerial foreman role where they actually gave you more information, then your brain could actually make sense of it.
Then I could flourish because I learned better through books.
Yeah.
You could actually give me a book and then show me how to do it, and I will reference the book back.
Which isn't most
and
people.
So, yeah, so yeah. It's different. So I learn a little bit differently. So I learn better by knowing the whole picture first, mm-hmm. and then I can put the little details in.
So you were under a lot of stress, and that is exactly why most women's sex drive is down. You know, but it's not just women. I think it's men, too. We just, men can't talk about that. So, anyways, I think she helped point stuff out. So looking back, what helped is outside people speaking into the situation. I had close friends in my small group praying for the situation. And it was really good. So I think that's how we got through it, was time, not giving up, continuing to work, prayer, Christian resources, right? Mm-hmm. Point us back to Christ. Because the meaning of the marriage book was like, yeah, your husband is a sinner. And I just thought, wow, I just don't look at him as a sinner. Because you're so great in so many areas. So it almost tricks me. So anyways, I think that really helped. Would you say anything else that you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think from my end, it was giving you a lot of grace. And owning what I could own. If I literally did something wrong, I have no problem admitting it. But if it's your issue, it's your issue. And I don't hold any emotional baggage to that. Now, that can sound cold, but it's really healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I'm saying
is,
if you're mad about something that I didn't even do, or I'm mad about an expectation that I didn't even know about or an expectation mm-hmm. that I can't meet, mm-hmm. I don't own that anger. I will pray for you that, and then I'll pray that I can do as good of a job as I can to help you in it. But I don't emotionally take any of that. I can sleep fine. I don't get stressed about it.
Yeah, at all. You slept like a baby.
And it's because I know I'm doing everything I can. I'm giving you everything I can. And if that's not enough, that's on you, not me. And that's really, it's really healthy. It's a really good place
to be. Yes, actually, that's what I realized in this counseling time of my life was codependency. You might hear that, but to actually realize what it is, and I'm not, we're not going to go into it now, but it's a really good place. You are actually not codependent on me. I was and still can be codependent upon you, and that's a huge sabotage for a relationship. Mm-hmm. So I would definitely agree with that, where you weren't and I was. So I didn't know how to be around somebody so healthy. What do you mean? You're fine. I'm not okay. You need to not be okay. Now I'm mad that you're not okay. Or that I'm mad that you're okay. So I definitely had to do my own work to get more healthy, I would say. And I think I hurt because I thought, well, look at all the work I'm doing and you're just sitting back reading your philosophy books. But but you said something where I think you threw the term out, but I think a lot of people might not understand how you did that. So you said you gave me a lot of grace. First of all, what does that mean to you? And how did you get to the point where you could give me grace?
Well, grace is commonly defined as unmerited favor. So grace could be, you've been mad at me for a week and I'm still intentional with trying to pursue you in a soft way and laugh with you.
Mm-hmm. You're not trying to get back at me or show
prove to me. I'm not holding, you don't hold anything over someone's head who's done something wrong to you, personally mm-hmm. assaulted you, said really mean things to you. Jeez. You let it go because you understand that they are angry and they're speaking out of anger. They're speaking out of emotion. They're not speaking out of
their true reality self.
Or their truth. And so you just recognize it as that and you let it go. You give them grace in it. And guess what? That led you to repent and ask for forgiveness for how you were treating me. Because mm-hmm. if I would have treated you the same way in return, that there's, we both now have mm-hmm. have a major issue to mm-hmm. repent for. And it's just very important to let the other person, if they're weak, don't push them further down because they fell over. Don't kick them. You know, try to help them out. Yeah. And have a sense of humor.
That's big.
It's big. It's always been big for us. We both like to laugh.
Yeah.
But feel the room before you start making jokes.
Before you go too far. It's, you usually do a soft...
You do a probing question to feel the emotion level. And you were really great about, as much as you didn't know it, I think at the time, you could signal to me by that. You would do the laugh cry where you were so mad, but you thought you were still laughing. And so you'd be crying and laughing. And I'm like, okay, she's ready to open up to me again. And then that's the time where you can pursue and have an honest conversation. But when you're shut down, it could be for weeks. Mm-hmm. It's never the time to have that conversation.
or to keep making jokes.
or to make any jokes.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's important to read that in your spouse. Mm-hmm. Because if you're shut down, it does not matter. Even to this day, it does not matter a single thing I say. If you're shut down, I suck. And so it's the reality.
Yes.
So if that's the case, it could last forever. Pray in silent for your wife because nothing you say is going to fix it. Yes, you still have to function. Yeah. You can still say, you know, what can I make you for dinner? Or
and we do that.
Yes. Well, because you have to have some kind of communication, obviously. But to go any deeper, you have to let the other person let you in. It's kind of like a locked door. You need permission to enter the house to mm-hmm. speak to you. If I don't have that permission, I can never come in.
And you know, I think everything we're talking about, too, is every individual tactic is a tool. Mm-hmm. It cannot be the only tool.
Yes.
Humor is a tool. And sometimes if that's the only tool you have or you use, it's a hammer. And then everything looks like a nail versus all the multiple tools you could have. And yes. I would say you use humor fairly well. There's some times where you throw something out there and I do laugh and I have to turn around. Because I don't want to be mad at you. But and then, it was this past hunting weekend. What did you do on the way up north? And I couldn't talk to you for 2 hours.
It was horrible. Oh my gosh. I remember sitting in the car thinking, seriously? You are this mad?
I was very mad. It's a good thing we can't remember. But I was...
It was very important.
Got to be kidding me.
It was the pie.
The pumpkin pie.
I packed a van and I had the pumpkin pie.
Stop. Rewind. I made an extra... I don't even like pumpkin pie. I will maybe try a slice I eat. The filling, a little bit of the filling. I don't like pumpkin pie. Pumpkin pie is Michael's thing. And we had to bring a pumpkin pie up. And first of all, I don't want to make it. Second of all, I don't want my husband taking time out of our family time to make it. So I made a special trip out of my way that I took two little girls into a store for. Bought a big enough pie for everybody. And came home, and Michael packed the van. So now go ahead.
So I packed the van, and not wanting to crush the pumpkin pie, I set the pie on top inside of a box.
Oh.
Well, during driving, and then we had to stop and get some, milk, I think?
Yes.
From a friend's house, so we stopped and got some milk, and we were parked on a hill.
Mm-hmm.
And so Anna, to load it in the cooler bag, which I put in back, apparently.
Yeah, you put in back by the pie.
She pops the van, and the pie comes out.
Pop. Splat.
All over the floor.
And all over the gravel concrete.
And she was so mad, she's screaming.
I literally was, like, hyperventilating. Take this. And somebody was inside Kate's pottery studio looking at me, concerned. I was just shot. She probably thought an axe murder. Because I that's how I get stuff out. I'm more verbal.
Now you know what it's like.
I don't know what to do with the anger. I don't punch people, but I just want to scream. And so I did. And Seth is out and his kids come out. Hi, Anna. Hi. Where's the garbage? I'm so mad at you. Because now we have sleeping kids in the van. So we have to stop at a store. And if they wake up, then... And I'm just saying why... It wasn't just, it's no big deal. It was there. Okay, so we stop at the store and get ingredients to make it. Then we chance the kids waking up. Now, guess who has to deal with them? Me versus 2 hours of potential silence.
Then, it was silent for 2 hours in the van.
We got the silence. And then the other thing was, I didn't think to ask somebody else to bring a pie or, whatever. I said, I already bought a pie. I already went out of my way. I don't want any time or money spent on this. It was already done with. It should be done. And that's how I felt. And that's how I stayed for about 2 hours. Now, with all that being said...
And she's over there, mind you, texting and smiling to some of her friends. And then as soon as she gets done, the mad face comes back. It's like... That's why I'm thinking to myself, seriously? I know that this isn't that big of a deal, honey.
Oh, well, it was.
But I know that for you, it was all of the other stuff that went into it that you felt was wasted. That was why it was so triggering.
And let's be honest, I'm pregnant and we get sometimes limited sleep. So none of that helps. I'm not blaming it on that. It's still sin in me, selfishness, foolishness. But that you know, under right circumstances, I literally looked like a psychopath. So anyways, and okay, this is what I would say. A tool is having people outside your marriage to help. Again, though, you can overuse this tool because I can turn to people or friends over God, or going back to Michael, who really is where the reconciliation. So I think if you use people in your life, so I was texting my sisters, like, I am so mad. I mean, I know this is not a big deal. I know this is such a first world problem. I know it's stupid that I'm so mad. If something would have happened to Michael, I know I wouldn't care about this. And that makes me even more mad that I'm mad about it. But I can't just get over it right now. And so, you know, then really, so that's where humor would come in. So they'd be like, well, you know, maybe I said a joke, or it was like, well, do you need a pumpkin? You know, whatever. In that texting group, humor helped break down. And so then I knew I still had to go to you and God. So I would say outside people and friends to just, you know, like, can you pray for me or ask for help, whatever. That stuff's good. And so then my sister did pick up a pie.
And then I ended up baking a pie too, because I'm like, I'm not eating that crap store-bought one.
And yeah, so he took family time to make a pie with our daughter.
And our son. And the nieces and nephews. This, such a bad use of my time.
This is how stupid my anger was. But my mom's like, it is no big deal. I have all the ingredients at my house, Anna. No worries. Because that's what moms do. They're good at it. And my mom is really good at that. Anna, it's okay. We got this. And I'm like, no, it's not okay. This is not how it was supposed to go. You know, and so that's when you know I'm not doing good. When I am so irrational. But all that to say is old me would have maybe sat in that the whole weekend. Seriously, as stupid as it sounds, yes. Now, I think, so I would say this was about 3 hours. Because by the time we got to...
It was after we got there for a while before she opened
Not
up.
A while.
An hour.
An hour. So say 3 hours. We get there. And I think... This is a good example of when you can use humor, because I think I was like, okay, we're in a group setting. I know it's not a big deal. It's not like we need to sit down and really have a heart to heart about this. So I need to, so I think I just shot you a look that, and like a half smile. Mm-hmm. And then you just come over by me and say, oh, get over it. But you knew you could say that because I shot you.
Yes.
The look. I gave you permission.
It's kind of like you opened the door for me to enter.
Yeah. So space. I would say that's what I would encourage people in the relationship is to find out those feelers. And that both of you know each other enough to say, this is a feeler. This isn't me trying to be rude. This is to see where you're at. Now, if I keep going after you... Mm-hmm. You know, say no with a feeler, then that would be inappropriate. But so I would say that, and then I don't even know if we talked about it after that. He just prayed for me and gave me grace.
I don't think we said much after that, other than you done being mad at me.
And what did I say? You're such a jerk.
I don't remember.
I say that a lot, but that's me meaning I love you. That's like my love language. You're such a jerk. And then Cora go, Daddy, not a joke. I think she said that once because I really did say a joking. And if I didn't, honey, I am sorry for overreacting in that situation and sabotaging our ride because I was really looking forward to riding up and talking together.
That was why I was so like, she's so shut down. And her whole thing was, I can't wait for us to sit and talk on this trip up north.
Yeah. I love our car rides up north because that's almost better. It's usually better than a date.
Yeah, because we get 2 hours to talk.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay, so that's a good example. Then now people know the good, the bad, the ugly. Mm-hmm. But so what I will say is we didn't get to some of the things I wanted to talk about, so we'll do that next time.
Okay.
Sound good?
Yeah.
All right. If anybody has any questions or stories, funny stories, please share.
Yes, they're always fun.
Thank you guys for joining us on Raz and Climb.
Gosh. on Rise and Climb. Thank you. Signing off.
You should come up with your own podcast and name it yourself and introduce it.
Yeah, I won't do it.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please give Rise and Climb a 5-star review or share it with someone you think who would equally enjoy it. If you also feel so led, you can support this podcast with either a one-time donation or monthly subscription to help pay for sound and editing equipment that helps produce more kingdom-driven and relevant-to-the-times content. God bless. Whoa.